Reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, Chapter 62, Preaching in Germany, August 1969. Prabhupada wanted to go to England. His obligations on the West Coast fulfilled, he was eager to travel and preach on a new continent. But his disciples in England, although creating a significant impression on London, hadn't yet found a temple. The three couples were living in three different apartments around the city. Still, after a year, they had no center. But in Germany, young Shivananda had opened a little storefront temple within a few months of his arrival. Prabhupada decided to go as soon as possible to Shivananda in Germany, and from there go to England when they were ready for him. In July, he wrote to Krishnadas, who had joined Shivananda, "You wanted to fix up a date, so I am telling you that I am prepared now on any day you call me." Only four disciples and a few friends were in Hamburg. At first, they became a little bewildered, although blissful, to hear Prabhupada wanting to come. They weren't sure they had enough money. Would they have to pay his ticket all the way from California? And his secretary's ticket? All they had was a tiny storefront. Where would Prabhupada stay? Not many people attended their temple programs, so what would Prabhupada do in Hamburg? Prabhupada sensed their confusion when they sent a discount Icelandic Airlines ticket to him at the wrong address in California. He wrote them on August 5. I am speaking into the microphone. Okay, because I can't see. From these letters, it appears that things are not yet settled up, and under the circumstances, there is no use rushing the matter. Settle things up nicely, and when you get the money from Mukunda and the apartment, then arrange for the tickets, and we shall start. Do everything cool-headedly. Nice, huh? Yeah, that's very fun. In 1968, in Montreal, when he had heard Srila Prabhupada talk about bringing Krishna consciousness to London, Shivananda had asked to go. At first, however, Prabhupada had doubted whether such a young, inexperienced boy should go alone to a foreign country, as Shivananda was proposing. But when Shivananda had persisted, Prabhupada had allowed him, although warning, "Be careful. I was an old Calcutta boy when I came to New York, and I never got cheated." Shivananda had very little money, but in August 1968, his mother had paid for his trip to England. London immigration authorities had refused him entry, and he had gone to Amsterdam. They let him in. So. There he had drawn public attention and press coverage by dressing in a dhoti and chanting in public. He had sent Prabhupada the news clippings as well as a letter expressing enthusiasm and loneliness. Touched by Shivananda's bold pioneering spirit, Prabhupada had written him as spiritual father to son. "I have seen the description of your activities in Amsterdam, but I could not understand the language. But one thing I observed in that article was my name, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta. This indicates that your tour in Europe is going to be very successful. I hope you will receive this letter and be courageous and always chant Hare Krishna. You will be successful in the same way that I was. I came to New York in the same helpless way, and gradually many students like you have come to help me. So don't be disappointed. Try your best, and Krishna will give you all help. I understand that one young Finland boy has joined you, and similarly many other young men will come and join you because the whole world is in need of Krishna consciousness. My Guru Maharaj used to say, there is no scarcity of anything in this world save and except Krishna consciousness. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki, jai. Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki, Gornitai ki, jai. Keep your present attitude intact. Have good faith in your spiritual master and Krishna, and everything will be all right. You already have taken the secret of success, sincerity. Pull on with that mentality, and Krishna will give you all help. You write to say, I really miss Prabhupada and my Godbrothers Association so much, but I may remind you that I am always with you. Wherever I am, you and your Godbrothers are there. Please remember always the humble teachings that you have received from me, and that you will keep, and that will keep you always associated with me and with your god brothers also." Prabhupada proudly held up the example of young Shivananda before his other disciples. When a few devotees traveled for the first time to Vancouver, Canada, found a poor reception and wrote Prabhupada that they were giving up on Vancouver, Prabhupada wrote them about Shivananda. "You will be pleased that his little activities for a few days are now published in a local paper with his photo. And although he is alone, I think his journey to Europe is a successful one by this time. And similarly, wherever we go, we must not come back defeated. That is my idea. So I think Shivananda's enclosed copy of letter will encourage you." Shivananda had traveled from Amsterdam to Berlin where he had rented a storefront. Prabhupada had followed his success with great interest. "I am so glad to read you write to say, I opened the temple on Thursday and I'm in the process of fixing it up. It is so much pleasing to me, and what can I give you? I can simply pray to Krishna for your long life and prosperous service to Krishna." Isn't that nice? Sweet. "Please do it nicely, and if you think I should go there, I am prepared. I do not mind for the severe cold there, but if you think that my service will be helpful to you, you can call me, and I shall go. So I am very much anxious to know about your further progress." Upon Shivananda's arrival in Germany, he had soon been joined by a German-speaking American boy, Krishna Das, and a German devotee, Uttama Shloka, who had both been living in California. Krishna Das, only 18, had been working as a jeweler's apprentice in San Francisco and felt confident he could get similar work in Germany to support the temple there. Now they had jointly decided to close the Berlin center and move to Hamburg. But Prabhupada's growing hopes for attracting the intelligent people of Germany had been threatened in December when he had received a distressful letter from Shivananda saying he was going to leave Europe. This was 5 months after his arrival. Prabhupada had replied, "I've always been very glad that you were in Germany to take care of the temple, and you have written that Krishnadas is also disturbed at this sudden turn. From your letter, it is unclear as to where you are going, to Montreal, New Vrindavan, to work for your mother. It is all unclear as to your plan. I think you must stay in our Hamburg center until you write to me why you are leaving Germany and where you are expecting to stay. It could be that you are experiencing some difficulty in Germany, in which case please inform me of the same so we may solve the problem. You mentioned that leaving is the best thing for your devotional service, but you should know that without the instructions of the spiritual master, there is no question of devotional service. So I think you must remain in Hamburg Center until I advise you further. I'm anxiously awaiting to hear your reply." Shivananda agreed to stay. At this time, also Prabhupada had written another young disciple, Achyutananda, who was experiencing difficulty alone in India. Prabhupada had asked him also not to abandon his position. Mostly, Prabhupada's letters to his disciples were to encourage them in what they were already doing. But at times like these, he had to tell them to stick it out and not leave. To have even one man in a foreign country was very important. Even if Shivananda didn't do much active preaching, if his sincere disciples simply stayed somewhere, then things would go. So Shivananda had stayed. Hamburg, August 25, 1969. Prabhupada and Purushottama flew from Los Angeles to New York, stopped over for 24 hours, and then flew by Lufthansa Airlines non-stop to Hamburg. The stewardesses wanted to give them cooked meals and seemed personally disappointed when Prabhupada wouldn't take them. They asked if he would take fruits and then produced a good variety. Prabhupada accepted. When Prabhupada and Purushottama arrived in Hamburg, Shivananda, Krishnadas, and two other boys were at the airport to greet them. They had a taxi waiting. The weather was grey and cold despite the season. This was August, so. As the taxi passed the streets lined with close, neat homes, Prabhupada said it reminded him of Calcutta. When the Europeans had gone to India, they had built houses similar to these. The temple was Eppendorferweg, in a business area next to a hair salon. The storefront with its plate glass window painted blue, except for an oval in the center, a Radha Krishna temple painted over the window, could have been in New York or San Francisco, except for the sign. International Gesellschaft für Krishna Bewusstsein, EV. The apartment Shivananda had rented for Prabhupada was two small rooms on the 15th floor of a modern building across the street from the storefront. Shivananda and a few others came before Prabhupada in his room, and Shivananda apologized that Krishna consciousness was so small in Hamburg. They had heard how devotees in Los Angeles were going out, sometimes 50 at a time, chanting and dancing in the streets and distributing hundreds of Bhakta Godheads. But in Hamburg, Shivananda and another boy had gone out chanting only a few times, with little success. They had no speaking engagements for Prabhupada, Shivananda said, and they weren't sure if many people would attend the temple lectures, although they had advertised around town with posters. Prabhupada smiled and sat back, "That's all right." And he began talking with Uttama Shloka about his progress in translating Bhagavad Gita into German. With Purushottama busy typing Prabhupada's translations and letters, Shivananda did most of the personal service for Prabhupada, cooking, accompanying Prabhupada on his morning walk, giving him his daily massage. Purushottama looked rather gloomy. He seemed unhappy to be in Hamburg, perched high in a skyscraper under a grey North German sky, with a tiny temple and almost no devotees. But Shivananda was exuberant. It seemed that Prabhupada had come to ISKCON Hamburg just to give him the mercy of his personal association. In his room, Prabhupada told Shivananda he would lecture in the temple on Monday, Wednesday and Friday evenings. He would see guests in the afternoon, the two devotees ready for initiation, some regular visitors who wanted to see Prabhupada, and young Indologist Dr. Franz Bernhardt, who had an academic interest in seeing Prabhupada. Prabhupada then began speaking about how intelligent Germans were. This was a common thing Prabhupada did. Wherever he went, he would speak about the local people and said, "You're very intelligent. You should take Krishna consciousness and do something wonderful." With the Americans, you say, "You're a big country. You should do something big for Krishna." So it was Prabhupada's idea. So the intelligent Germans are very intelligent. He said, among Europeans, German scholars were the most adept in Sanskrit. They had a lively interest in Indian philosophy. Prabhupada had a German godbrother who had come to India and been initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he had heard something about German culture from his godbrother. As for manufactured products, he continues, if something was made in Germany, it was first class. The next best was Japanese and then American. He said the Hamburg devotees should strive to establish Sankirtan here as it was in the U.S. He described how in Los Angeles temple, he described how the Los Angeles temple was decorated and how hundreds of people came to the Sunday love feasts. They should make their temple in Germany even more important than the one in Los Angeles. And they should go out and distribute magazines and from the collection support the center. He said they should at least go out an hour a day. If the devotees really wanted to remain in Germany, they should try to learn the German language. Although German was a foreign language to some of the Hamburg devotees, Prabhupada said that somehow they had to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to the German people. He gave the example that if in a foreign country a man discovers fire in the building, he has to get help from the neighbors, even though he doesn't know their language. He may not express himself in good language, but that's not important. Because of the urgency of the situation, he can still get his message across. Similarly, the material world is a blazing fire of Maya, and a devotee has to inform the people, even if he has to use broken language. A friendly German husband and wife entered the room and sat in the back. The girl told Prabhupada she enjoyed reading his book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada was very glad and said that both she and her husband should read the books carefully and then preach the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the Europeans. Hours went by while Prabhupada painted a realistic but vigorous vision of how these few devotees could use their energies in spreading Krishna consciousness in Germany. The next day he went out for a walk, accompanied by a few devotees. Prabhupada wore a turtleneck sweater and a large black coat, but no hat. He carried a cane. The boys were dressed in pants, coats, and hats, except Krishnadas, who wore a suit and tie, since he would have to go to work at the jeweler's shop after the walk. Shivananda took Prabhupada to the Hamburg harbour, Landungsbrücken, on the Elbe River. The weather was still grey, damp, and for August, cold. People driving by turns looked at Prabhupada and even stopped their cars to stare. So Prabhupada was dressed in full, you know, Vaishnava dress. Must have been amazing. Prabhupada was himself very surprised to see some ditch diggers pausing to drink beer at this early hour. They're drinking beer already? He turned to Shivananda. Yes, Prabhupada. Shivananda replied, they begin very early. Then Prabhupada saw one billboard after another, many advertising cigarettes. He explained, oh, cigarettes. Why are these people so fat? Prabhupada asked. Oh, they eat a lot of potatoes, Shivananda replied. No, Prabhupada said, they eat a lot of meat. The Germans may be the most intelligent Europeans, Prabhupada said, but they were also the most materially attached. Prabhupada and his students stopped to watch a tugboat towing a large ocean liner into the harbour. Just see, Prabhupada said. A man under the spell of Maya is just like this big ocean liner. The tugboat is small, because the big ocean liner has its engine off, the little boat can drag it. Similarly, the soul without Krishna is pulled by Maya down to hell. As they continued walking, they came upon an open vegetable market. Let's go see what they have, Prabhupada said. Carefully, he observed the selection of fruits and vegetables, paying close attention to details. Tejas Prabhu, he knew Prabhupada very well, and he said Prabhupada knew the prices of vegetables in every city in the world. And he would advise the devotees to go to particular places. He said, he was very concerned we didn't waste money. So then he would go and see. He would say, go and buy there. It's a good price. As they started back, Prabhupada said, this morning I will have eggplant pakoras and hot milk. It is very good for cold weather. It helps keep you warm. Hot milk, Prabhupada? Shivananda asked. Yes. Milk means hot cow's milk. As they approached the storefront, Prabhupada remarked, these cigarettes are very popular. For the rest of the day, Prabhupada read, took breakfast, answered letters, took massage at 11, bathed, took lunch, rested an hour, and then received visitors in the afternoon. In the evening, he came down to the temple and lectured on Bhagavad Gita. Although Mandalibhadra was there ready to translate Prabhupada's words into German, there was no need, since everyone in the audience spoke English. One of the few guests attending Prabhupada's lecture was the landlady. She was in her 80s, lonely and glad to have young people living in her building. Oh, bless. Sitting behind a partition where Prabhupada could not see her, she listened to the lecture. When Prabhupada got up from the Vyasasana and walked to the back room, he found her sitting there. Oh, he said, the landlady is a devotee too? Shivananda had no experience arranging lectures for Prabhupada, nor did he have the time. He was busy cooking and doing other duties for Prabhupada. Krishnadas worked full time. Under the circumstances, Professor Bernhard's visits was the major outside engagement for Prabhupada during his Hamburg visit. Shivananda had met Professor Bernhard months ago at the University of Hamburg after hearing of a Sanskrit and Indology professor on campus. Without knowing anything about the etiquette of dealing with the professor, he had entered Dr. Bernhard's office without an appointment. We are going to start a Radha Krishna temple here, Shivananda had told the professor. Are you familiar with Vedic scriptures? Although Professor Bernhard remained strictly formal with Shivananda, he couldn't deny an academic interest in Krishna consciousness. He had studied Vaishnavism, specializing in Indian religious festivals. So when Shivananda invited him to come and meet Bhaktivedanta Swami, Professor Bernhard had eagerly taken the opportunity. Professor Bernhard, a well-dressed young man with wavy blonde hair, sat patiently through one of Prabhupada's kirtans and lectures in the temple. Afterwards, in fluent English, he asked, "What about we here in the city who have cosmopolitan consciousness?" "What is this cosmopolitan consciousness?" Prabhupada asked. "They are killing the animals." Prabhupada explained to him the universality of Krishna consciousness. "I am interested," Dr. Bernhard said, "to learn about the differences between the Shankarites and the Vaishnavas and their philosophies." "Oh yes," Prabhupada replied, "I will teach you." And they agreed to meet at Prabhupada's apartment. Krishnadas. A couple of days after Prabhupada arrived in Hamburg, Dr. Bernhard came laden with gifts. He was very conscious of Vaishnava protocol. So the devotees didn't know the protocol, but he knew the protocol. Even if he were in the Himalayas in this cold, horrendous weather, he would be freshly shaven and wearing a tie. He was very punctual and precise. Prabhupada talked with him, and the entire conversation was in Sanskrit. As a matter of fact, every now and then Prabhupada would put in a couple of words of English for our benefit. For 3 or 4 days, there were continual meetings with Prabhupada and Dr. Bernhard. Can you imagine Prabhupada's talking in Sanskrit? I don't know how many people can speak fluent Sanskrit. Prabhupada can do. They culminated in a statement by Dr. Bernhard. He lapsed into English and said, "What you are saying is that all my knowledge is useless without devotional service." Prabhupada said, "Yes, now you've understood." Finally he got it. Then Dr. Bernhard said, "What you're saying that is all my studies and entire library are just like an ass laden down with so many books that are ultimately pushing him into his grave." Again Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's right." When Dr. Bernhard, he used it, Prabhupada would do this with scholars, he would just call them asses. You know, they're just, "You're an idiot." And he would be like, sometimes people like that. If someone's very rich or famous, or they like it if someone tells them off, because nobody tells them off, right? So Krishna likes this too. He likes his devotees saying, "Mother Yashoda's chastising him," and because nobody chastises God, but Yashoda chastises God. He's her little boy, so she can chastise him. Anyway, scholars, they used to like this with Prabhupada. When Dr. Bernhard remarked that he had been thinking of ISKCON as hippies since he had seen an ad stating that Allen Ginsberg was a member, Prabhupada took it very seriously. The next day he wrote Hayagriva. "From his conversation, I understood that people are very badly impressed about Ginsberg, especially respectable persons, on account of his hippie tendencies." So Prabhupada took the professor seriously. He didn't just call him an ass. "I, of course, supported our case that Ginsberg is a great friend of our society, and we advise everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and I believe he also does so. Anyway, we should be very much careful not to publish anything in our paper which will give impression to the public that we are inclined to the hippie movement. In our papers, nothing should be published that is even a small tinge of hippie ideas." Although they called the feast the love feast, which was a very hippie thing, but anyway. Sometimes we still call our feasts love feast, and you can see people are a little puzzled. A love feast? What's a love feast? "I must tell you in this connection that if you have any sympathies with the hippie movement, you should kindly give them up." Prabhupada's third meeting with Dr. Bernhard was at the professor's home. This time, Dr. Bernhard confessed to Prabhupada that he did not agree with many points in Prabhupada's translations of the Vedic literature. He criticized the Vaishnava philosophy. He also told Prabhupada that he had no religious feeling for Krishna consciousness since he considered himself a Christian. By the end of this meeting, their relationship was becoming strained. And afterwards, Prabhupada remarked that in none of their meetings had the professor even said Hare Krishna. Rat. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.